It's the E-Commerce Master Plan Podcast, here to help you grow your e-commerce business faster and more efficiently by cutting through the hype to bring you inspiration and guidance from the e-commerce sector and beyond. Here's your host, Chloe Thomas.
Hello, Master Plan World. Welcome to our latest podcast. It is, as ever, a pleasure to have you listening. I'm Chloe Thomas, creator of the E-Commerce Master Plan, author, speaker and consultant, and I focus on e-commerce business strategy and marketing. Today, I'm bringing you another interview and I have a great guest for you this week. Before I introduce you to him, though, have you had a listen to our bonus Christmas 2015 tips episodes? If not, have a listen. The first two are already live. Should you partake in Black Friday and why your delivery strategy matters this Christmas. And this Wednesday evening, you'll be able to get your hands on the final one, which is your Christmas 2015 customer journey, including the top marketing methods you should be using this Christmas. Lots of Christmas in there. So go and check those out after you've listened to today's great interview. So let me introduce you to today's special guest. Alex Pratt is the founder of Serious Readers, who build and supply the world's best reading lights. I am a customer and I love these lights, and they do ship worldwide. The business started in 1986 and is now a mail order business with strong online sales, as well as Amazon and wholesale as well. Turnover is £5 million a year, which is achieved with 50 employees selling in excess of 20,000 lights each year. Alex is also the chairman of the UK's Direct Commerce Association. Hi, Alex. I've just given our listeners a very quick overview of you and your business and where you are now. So how did you get started off in e-commerce?
Well, hi. It seems like eons ago now when I first got going. I think we were one of the first SMEs, at least, in the UK to get into e-commerce. And the reason I got into it was basically I was a bit of a cheapskate. I was trying to find ways of serving customers cheaply or less expensive way than, you know, employing lots of people. And I was also, and have also always been, really an early adopter of new technologies. I think I was like number three in the UK to have video conferencing, for example.
Wow.
You know, we installed it but never managed to use it because there was nobody else. So it was quite very early on. It's just way back when. 20 years, a long time ago. So it was really as a way of expanding our business without taking on a lot of extra people.
And that was with the Serious Readers brand?
Actually, it was with the lighting business, but we were then only B2B. So we were serving international markets. Our business grew from making lamps for industrial sewing equipment. So we used to supply people like Levi's, you know, where they were sewing jeans and all day, to their plants all over the world. And then it went into machine tools and special purpose vehicles, so that we were in the space program and Branson's Around the World balloon and nuclear submarines and things like that. So it was a B2B program, very niche based, high value, relatively small volumes at that time.
Well, so e-commerce was almost the desire to reduce that cost per sale of, you know, the human involvement really started you off on the Serious Readers journey.
Yeah, it allowed us to easily learn how to create a scalable set of processes. But it was really, because I was trying to do it on the cheap. That's how I did it.
I like the honesty there. I like that. It was all about doing it on the cheap. Yeah, it seems really clever in retrospect, but actually it was all about cost saving. It's a really, really good way, good angle to put on it.
I wish I could say it was a great vision, but actually the other thing that we found out was because we were in early and we bought very early technology, we ended up not moving on very quickly, and we were the last people on what was that platform then in those days to actually move off it. They had to keep it going for 2-3 years because we were so slow at moving on once we'd established it. So, you know, we were early in but slow to take it forward.
It's often the fact about in e-commerce is, you know, being early in's good, but sometimes it can be good to be a bit further down the track. It continues to amaze me at the moment how the platform technology that you can use for selling is just so streets ahead of where it was. And if you start now, you can do so much more so much easily than someone who's on a legacy system. answer.
Yeah, and that's the nature of you know, a disruptive technological change, isn't it? So, I've noticed that because we've just replatformed recently, and we're starting to look at a whole sort of mass customization approach to everything that we do. And it's amazing how many tools are just available that you can just stick on your website and it does everything that you'd ever dreamed of a few years ago. So it's quite interesting.
Yeah, it's great the way it's moved on these days. So what's the platform you've moved on to?
We've just moved on to, we've been working with MoneySpider, and they've used Ruby on Rails. I'm not the technocrat in all this. My guys deal with all that. But, we literally have just, I think this week is our final sort of snagging, finishing off. We haven't even done the SEO analysis. So, you know, our H1. We've got a whole load of things yet to do. So we moved over to an open source platform, particularly for the reasons that you've just outlined. We've had previous experiences where we've spent a lot of money on bespoke proprietary systems where the company's gone bust and then you've ended up with a problem. So this time we were determined to go on open source. And so that's what we've done.
Cool. So it's the MoneySpider platform you've moved to. And is that one live yet?
It's literally, yes. It is live, yeah. It's live.
Cool.
But it's live and in the process of being snagged out.
So it's almost beta testing mode.
Yeah, but we're doing it live. Because actually it's our busy season's now just started because the clocks have just changed. So we're sort of, as ever in this business, we're always very, very last minute. We only signed off our digital strategy this morning. We've got 100 grand to spend in the next 6 weeks. And we haven't started yet. Anyway.
And that's your Christmas strategy?
Well, it is partly to do with Christmas, but it's mainly to do with the darkness. Lights. People buy lights more often in the winter than they do in the summer. As anyone listening who runs an entrepreneurial business will understand, you've got so many ideas and so many things that you want to do that fighting to get the right ones to the top of the pile is always a very last minute thing. So we are literally seat of the panting into the season, which is all good fun.
It keeps it exciting, doesn't it? So you were talking a bit about plugins and widgets and that kind of stuff then. Are there any which you've already put in place on this new site?
No, the only thing that we've done so far is we've optimized it for mobile and stuff like that, because the old platform was very, very rigid. But I've been looking at things like Parsley, which is like, I don't know if you know Parsley, but it's like a, I was at the Telegraph recently looking at their whole sort of digital strategy, and they use Parsley and it analyzes in real time, you know, the social traffic and when you post something on, you know, The Apprentice, you know, which device users pick it up where, that sort of stuff. So we're sort of at the stage now where we've put the platform in place and we're now starting to look at a sustained attack in terms of building a brand in the online space, because our brand has actually been built mainly offline and we've traditionally used online just as a channel for purchase. So our whole strategy is in the midst of being changed. We've just got a new social media leader just started this week. We've just signed off a new digital recruitment strategy this morning. You know, we're looking at conversion rate optimization. We're looking at a complete reskinning of the journey, customer journey. So, you know, we're full on in this space at the moment because we think it's where all the action is.
Excellent. And just to fill in a couple of the gaps for people here, you're based in the UK and you sell all over the world?
We do. Our B2B business has always been sort of global. Our B2C business, we've been focusing on building a UK model and getting the UK model to hum, as it were, before we go internationally. We do sell all over the world and we have customers in 63 countries, but we're not currently targeting you know, international geographies. Although this morning we signed off the strategy for one particular product on the Amazon platform, and how we're going to break it across Europe in that particular product. So, you know, we're literally jumping up and down in this space at the moment. There's lots of China around us. Hoping we don't break too much.
It's going to be an exciting winter, isn't it? One way or another.
as I described earlier, we were very early into e-commerce. And it was e-commerce. It was actually, you know, it wasn't just a website. We were early into e-commerce. But we've been very, very slow, despite quite a deep understanding and aspirations in the space, to do anything around adopting or taking advantage of our opportunities in the space. So our opportunities are global. I mean, people basically buy our product for performance reasons. I mean, there are many different lights, but you buy our product because you really can't see, or you're someone who's at the top of your game, and your ability to see impacts on your performance. So, and that, as with the aging demographic, and the older you get, the less well you can see. That is a global opportunity for us. So we're very keen to expand online. We need to get the UK bit working first.
Yeah, otherwise you're just reiterating, you know, duplicating the same problems as you go into other countries if you don't fix them on site
one first.
Yeah,
somebody once described it to me: if you've got a tumour, don't keep growing it. What you want to do is fix the tumour before you grow. Yeah, so, and we've got a number of things that are going well, and a number of things that are, you know, falling flat on their face. And of course, the world is moving far, you know, so fast now with, you know, multiple device usage and, you know, the change in TV and you know, everything is changing. How you can, the extent to which you can take your spend and understand, attribute it in the right place. And when we had a session this morning on attribution on this digital strategy that we're about to embark on, it's all moving very, very fast, and we've been moving very slowly despite having been early in the race. So we're about to accelerate and start, you know, catching up Mo Farah.
I think, though, in some ways, now is the time to start accelerating, because, as you rightly said earlier, there's so much you can buy off the shelf that does things you'd have spent five-figure sums quite easily in order to achieve, but 12 months ago. So it's a good time to be starting that acceleration. So with all this going on, Alex, what do you think is the most awesome thing about your business right now?
The most awesome thing about our business really is the raving fans that we generate. So our whole business is based on the idea that light enriches lives, and we're looking for people who believe what we believe, and what we believe is not only that light enriches lives, but if a job is worth doing, it's worth doing well, and all that sort of stuff. So we're very clear on who we are and what we're trying to do and the impact we're trying to have on the world. And our biggest strongest indicator of whether we're succeeding or not is not actually profitability or number of customers, it's number of raving fans. So we're right into the raving fan space. So, you know, we're like 100%. Our customer reviews are so strong that the platform are telling us that we should try and find some people who aren't very happy, you know, to reduce, because it doesn't look, because they're so good, it looks false, you know. So the most awesome thing about us is that, and it's driven from two things actually. It's driven really from the products themselves and the impact that they have on people's lives, and those people that particularly need them or value them. But secondly, the whole approach of the business is focused on, you know, over delivering, you know, customer service, you know, really making a difference to people's lives. Because, you know, we run a business not particularly to be a profit maximizer, but to be an impact maximizer. So, you know, that's the most awesome thing, is that we do have raving fans.
How do you calculate your raving fans? Is that number of reviews, or have you got another metric you're using?
Well, there's a smorgasbord, or a balanced scoreboard, as people would call it. So we've got the reviews, not necessarily number of reviews, but it's the what the reviews are. We've got this massive database now. It's the propensity of people to agree to being filmed or to send us a clip on why they love their light. It's referrals. There's a whole sort of series of metrics that we look at. But principally, actually it's about rebuys. People come back and buy another one and they recommend and tell others about us. And that's one of the big things that we're not doing online at the moment, that is all being collected offline. So our whole online, the whole online journey is archaic in, I mean, it's perhaps 2 years old in web terms, but it's archaic in web terms. So whereas our paper-based journey is optimized to the nth degree as to when we send a particular document, when we make a phone call, it's really heavily, we've had a heavy focus on optimizing it. Whereas online, we are literally now rebuilding right from the, and as you say, right from the, almost like the start, but with all the tools now available that were never available before. So, you can almost, not instantly, but within a matter of days and weeks, start doing things that you could only have ever dreamt of years ago.
Yeah. Oh, totally. Which has the impact, as we've kind of already seen, of making one's to-do list incredibly long. And obviously, you've just today, it sounds like you've had quite a momentous day today, signing things off and the last few days launching websites and all the rest of it. So now...
Just a normal day.
Yeah. So now all that's kind of tied up. What are the top things on your to-do list for the coming months?
Right. Well, the first thing is to make sure that we, in overall terms, is to make sure that we maximise the value from the season. So our season running between now and March, really. So job number one is to make sure everything works and doesn't fall over. So at a pedantry level, everything needs to work. In terms of improving from where we are, we're into multiple testing at all moments of the journey. So, for example, our current site is basically a catalogue. It's not really a repository of information. It's not a content-driven engine that you would go to for any other reason than to buy one of our products, because all we do is offer you a catalogue. But the catalogue online is currently based around where you might have a reading light. So you might have it in your lounge or in your bedroom or in your office. So we're just about to blow up that customer journey and to re-engineer the site with a view to customer self-identifying into our psychographics. We have three ideal customers that we identify, and then giving each of them a journey. So this is a thing that we've done offline in spades and in detail, right down to the language that we use for each of those psychographics. But online, bizarrely, because we've never replatformed and had the ability to make these changes, we've sort of left it. So we're that's top. I suppose you would, in simple terms, you would say we have two strategies. One, which is about around conversion rate optimization, and the other is on lead generation.
Cool. So basically, top of the to-do list is one, make sure nothing falls over.
Yep.
And then once that's all taken care of, then it's about creating that customer journey, that customer experience that you've got offline, and bringing it to the online space using all the great psychographic profiles you've got. These three customers like, and it's about putting that in place.
Yeah, exactly that. And the third part of it is that we need to start migrating our recruitment activity online, because it's currently mainly offline. So hence that we've just signed off our first step into that space. So we've only basically been doing a bit of retargeting and some PPC and stuff. We haven't really had a mind for all the other ways of reaching our different niche audiences.
Excellent. Okay, well, I think it's time we move on to the top tips round. And I love this section because it gives me and our listeners some really quick ideas for taking our business to the next level. So, Alex, your book top tip. If everyone listening to this podcast agreed to take Friday off and read a book to make their business better, which book would you recommend?
Well, there are so many books that have taught me how to take stuff forward. But the best book I've ever read is a book called Influence by a guy called Cialdini. And it really is a detailed look at what it takes to move people from, you know, through the IDA process, but, you know, quickly to yes, and very subtle ways of nudging people and understanding what it does to, you know, what it takes to encourage somebody along the right path for them rather than for them to get stuck. So, and in there, there's a number of different principles, but one, for example, is the one which will be known to many people, is the contrast principle. So the contrast principle, it basically reminds us that the way we behave is very much influenced by the immediate past. And a good way that you can explain this is if you put one hand in cold water and one hand in hot water, and then you take both of them out and you put them both in the same temperature, warm water. One hand feels hot and one hand feels cold, even though they're in the same temperature. And this is used to do things like put the order of your sales pitch right. So you would always sell the suit before the tie. So, you know, selling a tie at £30 might be quite a, a difficult ask in some cases, but selling a tie at £30 when you've already sold the £500 suit, you know, is a much easier sale. So, and there are a number of principles in there. He talks about, I actually think there are seven, but he talks about six principles, and they are all, each of them a golden vein that you can sort of apply in all the customer journeys that you design. And so, you know, that's a fantastic book. It's a fantastic way of thinking about how you optimize the customer journey.
Now, we mentioned, and I have to agree, I think it's a brilliant book, but you mentioned AIDA.
Yeah.
And just for any of our listeners who aren't sure what AIDA stands for, are you able to enlighten them?
Yeah, so, I mean, it's a classic, I can't remember. Whoever, I've forgotten it was now, but it's some professor back in the 1800s who came up with it originally. But it's a journey that we all go through, from awareness, the A, to interest, the I, to desire, followed by action. So it's a sort of conceived linear pathway that, you know, one would go through. So, you know, I bought a drum kit yesterday for my son's birthday, online as it happens, and so I was, you know, I was made aware, I became aware of drum kits because I know he wanted one, and then I sort of, you know, was searching on the internet and was aware of different suppliers. The supplier that piqued my interest was one who had a video that told you how to buy a basic drum kit, and I mean, I already had the desire, effectively, but I was looking for a way of enacting that desire. So I would have bought from them, although they didn't have, they only had contact me in email rather than live chat. So the result was I would click down to the next site, who also, as it happened, had similar stuff, but they had live chat. So I got into a discussion, and they then gave me the ability to act. It's a final A, and I bought a drum kit. So, you know, it's that process of going from awareness to action.
That was a perfect explanation of it. Thank you very much for that, Alex. So I'll move on to the next top tip, which is the traffic top tip. Which marketing method do you either prize above all others or don't think gets the press it deserves?
Well, first thing I say about this changes all the time. It literally changes almost daily. I mean, I don't know about you, but we all probably get 50 emails about something new that's going on about traffic generation. So I sort of go to a higher point, and traffic is both interesting and dangerous, particularly if you're paying for it. So I think the key thing on traffic is to know your audience. I mean, you need to be... The really important thing on traffic is to get more of your ideal customers, not more customers. So, if you're looking at social media and you've got thousands of Twitter followers, that really doesn't mean anything unless they are either one of your ideal customers or they are likely to talk about you to one of your ideal customers. So, you know, really knowing who it is that you're trying to reach is the key thing for. So it's the sort of stuff that I enjoy are long tail keywords that really target the people who are likely to buy what we have, because I mean we are basically a top end, much more expensive than you can buy cheap stuff type of a product, so we don't want lots of people who are never going to buy because of the price range. So the other thing I'd say is everything is worth testing, because everything that you think is not going to work turns out to be something that's brilliant, and everything that you think is going to, buy you a house in the Caribbean ends up falling flat on its face.
True.
And then they change. One week it's working brilliantly, and next week it all dies. So firstly, know your audience. Secondly, test. And thirdly, keep a really close eye on it. I mean, like, we got caught out in July, just in keywords, for example, and we were on Bing, and Bing changed their numbers and we weren't on it, and we blew, $2,000 or $3,000 on search terms on Bing, where we got no sales because they just changed something and we weren't on the ball, and we were never going to generate traffic from what we were doing. So, it's a continual vigilance.
Oh, totally. Okay, well, next up, let's move on to the tool top tip. This might be a collaboration tool, social media plugin, phone app, or just a way of working. Is there a cool little tool, other than the game that's currently going on behind you, that you use that makes you and your team more efficient day to day?
Well, you talk about it. We're actually in the middle of basically trying to re-engineer the way we think about ourselves. So we are big time into internal communication. We operate in three different buildings. So we've got different teams doing different things. And communication between them, even within building, I mean, if you came into our office, normally it's like a library, because everybody's got their head down and they're full on. So this isn't a neat, cool tool, but it's a realization that in the end, people talking to one another and playing as a team delivers you a return. So we're just about, for instance, everyone in customer service and accounts and everybody have got obviously they've got a laptop or a computer, so we're able to communicate electronically. But the people in the factory who the people that manufacture the lights, they don't. So we're just about to. Now I do a daily blog to everyone in the company, which is just, it's nothing to do with the business. It's just a thought piece, very short, about something, a way of, who we could be or how we should act. And it doesn't reach people in the factory floor because they don't yet have connectivity. So we're about to connect them, give them iPads, and the thing that we've failed to do, and many companies failed to do, certainly the ones I've been involved with, is give enough attention to internal discussion. So we Skype between the buildings. If anything, email has become far too dominant in the mix. So we're looking at how we can improve communications by reducing the amount of email. So, to make the team more efficient, it really comes down to, is everybody clear on what good looks like, what the mission is? And, are they energized by what they're trying to achieve? And we're putting a lot of work into that at the moment.
Cool. Okay, excellent. That was really such an important thing to get the team communicating. I think the iPads for the factory team is clearly going to make a big old difference. So the next top tip is your startup top tip. If you met someone this weekend who's thinking of starting an e-commerce business, what would be your first tip for them?
I do a lot of talking in schools. I was involved with a guy called Peter Jones, one of the Dragons, who set up the National Enterprise Academy. And so I've done a lot of talking to the next generation, and they're a good example of a population that sees e-commerce, as you would expect, automatically as a route to gold. And I think the thing that people get wrong is that they is right at the heart, at the beginning of the enterprise, is to work out whether it's an idea or an opportunity. And so there are many good ideas which are not actually opportunities. And the reason they're not opportunities is, I don't know if you know, but the word opportunity comes from the Latin opportu. And ob portu was the phrase before we had harbours and docks, when a boat would be out in the bay, waiting for the tide to ride the tide in and unload its cargo. So, and Shakespeare used it as a tide in the affairs of men, which taken at the flood leads on to fortune. So the whole notion, the whole idea of opportunity is about an idea at the right moment where the energy carries it through to execution. And many people have great ideas, but they're not opportunities. And so, the single message to people tends to be, how do you know if you've got an opportunity rather than an idea? And really, if you get customers. So it's early to just do something, put it out there, test it. And if it works, it's probably an opportunity. If it doesn't, it's probably a good idea. And that's, ultimately the test is, will people other than your mum and dad and your mates pay for this? And there's a surprising how many people, put lots of effort in. I mean, you see it on Dragon's Den, actually. Lots of people come up with ideas that they're convinced are fantastic, but you think, well, nobody will ever buy that.
Completely. So they need to find the opportunity and test their ideas. So Masterplan World, you can find these top tips and links to everything else we've been chatting about in today's episode by going to ecommercemasterplan.com/serious. I have one final top tips question for you, Alex. If your business didn't exist, which e-commerce business would you like to be running?
Well, there are a lot, but I've been re-energized by this space. I'm looking at lots of these at the moment, and one that I really love is Airbnb. I don't know if people know about them, but I just love the way they've basically created a community from buyers and sellers or providers and users. The way they use video right from the outset. I mean, they just think that they've done some great stuff. It's a global business. They're operating in nearly 200 countries. They the language is really become a host. Their communication online is so succinct and clear, and yet communicates in depth at the same time, mainly through the use of video and great photography, I have to say, but also through different white papers and stuff like that. I mean, it's a great business, I think.
Cool, thank you. Alex, I'm going to add all of that and everything else we've talked about in today's show to the show notes. Before we say goodbye, though, would you like to let listeners know where they can find you and your business on the web and social media?
Sure. I mean, the simplest thing is Serious Readers. If you just type Serious Readers into anything, whether it's seriousreaders.com or Serious Readers into Facebook, whatever, you'll find us. So type Serious Readers in if you're a reader who's serious and wants a decent life.
Excellent. Masterplan World, you can find all of those contact details at ecommercemasterplan.com/serious, or just go to the website, click on the podcast tab, or use the search box. Alex, thank you so much for being on E-commerce Masterplan podcast today, for being so generous, sharing your experience with us, and giving us a little bit of an audio insight to what it's like in your offices at around 5:30 every day.
Madness.
Cool. Thank you.
Thank you.
Awesome. So how cool was that, hearing all the cultural aspects going on in the background of Alex's business there? So as one of our subscribers, if you're enjoying the E-commerce Master Plan podcast, please do share it with your e-commerce friends. Twitter, Facebook, over a coffee or a pint, I really don't mind. We've just published my brand new ebook, How to Get More Customers to Your Website. It's available exclusively and for free. Yes, all 11 pages of great advice for growing your e-commerce business are available for free at ecommercemasterplan.com. Just head over to the website, you'll see the forms, or it's in the freebies section. So everybody have a great week and keep optimizing. Bye.
Thank you for listening to the E-commerce Master Plan podcast. Find out more at ecommercemasterplan.com.